Okay, it wasn't actually ABBA. That was from the original Broadway soundtrack recording to the stage production of Mamma Mia, which you'll have the opportunity to see beginning next weekend at the Thurber Arts Center, thanks to the efforts of the Huntsville Community Chorus. I'm so pleased to welcome to the WLRH studios Elaine Hubbard, who is directing the show, and Michael and Stephanie Butcher. Are you related somehow?
We are.
So tell me how, basically, why you decided to do this show in Huntsville. Why is this production coming to the stages here?
Well, Broadway Theater League brought it here about 10 years ago, and the rights were just released to non-professional groups last April, I think. And I think everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, literally. And the chorus acquired the rights and decided to do it this summer. And so it is a premier production. It's never been done in town by a community group. And it is fast-paced. It never stops.
It's a great summer musical.
It really, really is just fun. Just really lots of fun.
So, Stephanie, tell me about your role.
I was very humbled and grateful for the opportunity to play Donna. She's a wonderful character. I've had a blast this summer. I have not done this here in Huntsville for over 20 years because I've been raising kids and teaching at Grissom and, you know, doing the mom thing and the wife thing and the teacher thing. So I am thrilled to be back on stage. It's been a blast. And this musical is just, it's fun, 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 fun. And the cast is great. And the music is wonderful. I grew up with it, so it's stuff I knew. And it's just a great musical. It'll make you feel good.
With some great voices, including that of Michael Butcher. And I've heard you sing in church.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard me talking about my grandfather, his funeral. Yeah, with at that very same church. So tell me about your role.
So Sam is one of the three potential dads. Won't do a spoiler or anything, but there are three potential dads for Sophie, who's getting married and wanted her dad there. So then the story is all about how we wander through the drama of who's the dad and who's going to walk her down the aisle and all of that sort of thing.
But it's all interwoven with the music of ABBA.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It's called a jukebox musical. Yeah. What do they mean by that?
It was the first really successful jukebox musical. And it is a storyline that's strung together with hit after hit after hit of this international group that was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2010. And their music was popular really about 72 to maybe the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. But they just came up with, like I said, a string of hits after hit after hit. And this musical combines about 22 nonstop. The set changes are done to music. They're choreographed. There's it's no curtain. It's all just the Greek island and the blue sky and the psych in the back is all lit up. And so it's basically just a wonderful story that's strung together with these pieces of music.
You know, I wonder how it all came about. I mean, who thought, okay, we're going to get these tunes and this story, and how did it come together?
I'm not really certain. I think they worked, the people that wrote it, obviously the lyricists and the musicians that created the original ABBA music were involved in it, and then Katherine Johnson took all of that together and created a script. And it's interesting how all of that's been woven together to make the wedding to fit Mamma Mia, for example. Donna sings it. She sees the three potential dads on the island for the first time, and she had not invited them. She doesn't know why they're there. And so she sings this Mamma Mia song, and she really is pointing at Sam. She really sort of singles him out as the villain. And so it's really fun because taking that, the lyrics of that particular tune, and putting them out there, they become actually the dialogue of the show. And that's been the amazing thing, is to have original lyrics for this that they had come up with before in each one of these individual hits, and to have them strung together and then that actually become the dialogue of the show as well as it has played. It's been playing for about 20 years. It takes place in the late 90s, and the throwback era is the late 70s when Donna and her team, her dynamos, Tanya and Rosie, who are played so well in this production. And in fact, I'm so thrilled with the casting. We have a young, energetic ensemble. And terrific, mature, veteran stage people who've just bringing so much talent and so much capability to the stage and energy.
And they get to sing ABBA songs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. What could be better than that, yeah.
I don't know. Let's play another one, and it's okay. You have my permission to sing along and dance if you're not driving. Just talking to Michael and Stephanie Butcher and Elaine Hubbard about this particular musical. When I hear the song, I just remember, you know, being young and hearing it on the radio and rolling the windows down and singing along. But it's actually incorporated within the music. It's not just stuck in there just mm-hmm. so you can sing Dancing Queen.
There's exactly. a reason yes. for it to be yes. there. Yes. Very, it's, very prominent reason.
Yeah. All of the songs in the show are, mm-hmm. they push the plot forward. They are actually, they really are meaningful. They're not just strung together.
Well, so how do you as an actor separate hearing the song as a kid on the radio and performing it on the stage within the context of the story?
Well, once you get the blocking and the choreography, it makes sense within that framework. Mm-hmm. And so then I can't think of anything else. When I hear this song, now I'm thinking, okay, I'm on the bed, or I'm here, or mm-hmm. I'm grabbing this, or I'm going here, this is the step. So it becomes second nature that song is, and why we're singing it, and what's happening. I'm trying not to give anything away. You know, what is Donna thinking, and why is it important to her, and, you know, what are her friends doing, and why are they singing it to her? And so it becomes all about that. It becomes part of the process of the show, mm-hmm. not just a really cool song on the radio. That's what happens to me. So
how about you, Michael?
It's the same kind of idea, because at the moment that you're in the scene, you're the character. So you're not thinking about your life or whatever you may have had exposure to this song before. It's sort of like you turn off all of that, and then you do this. Now, after the show, we may turn this off and get the song back. I don't know. It sort of depends. But it's in the moment, it's about that that person and what they're thinking. Sam and has a song called Knowing Me, Knowing You.
Yeah, Knowing Me, and S.O.S.
Knowing Me,
yeah,
Knowing
S.O.S.,
You,
yeah.
And S.O.S. were both songs that I heard, you know, and had a different context than they're used in the show. S.O.S. is pretty close, actually, mm-hmm. exactly to the way you would have thought of it when you first heard it as a radio hit. But then on the stage, it's a whole different idea. It's with another character.
And I'm trying to imagine how this would fit within a play. I guess I'm just going to have to go see it.
So absolutely.
If we are going to go see Mamma Mia, maybe you haven't seen the film. I haven't seen the film or any of the stage versions. Tell me about when it opens and where it is and how to get tickets and all that good stuff.
It opens July the 12th, Friday, a week from today. And we have 8 shows over 2 weekends. We close on the 21st, which is a Sunday. We have a matinee. We have several matinees. And information is at thechorus.org or 256-533-6606. And tickets are available online, or you can call the chorus office. And it's at the Thurber Arts Center at the Garth Road campus of Randolph School.
Such a nice theater.
It is lovely.
And it's a good size, too.
It is. It's a little over 500 seating. Mm-hmm. And the stage is, it's just a really lovely facility. And we've been very blessed to be able to work in that space for most of our rehearsals and a good number of our, and we've had access to the stage.
Wonderful.
And we've had our set on stage for
that's
some time.
That's huge, yeah.
Because it's a moving set. Mm-hmm. It like I said, there's no curtains. And so everything moves. It's all choreographed to the music as we do. Every scene change, it just flows. And the whole show just never stops with all of these numbers that we have. So it's been magical.
Of course, the magic of theater is not just actors and musicians.
Absolutely,
and singers.
Not.
We got your backstage crew too.
And we would not be able to do any of this without the help of an incredible group of people, incredible production team, stage management team, all of the technicians, our technical director, everybody that worked on it in terms of artistic scene, the artistic design and the scene work and the painting and all of that. And we've created in a very minimal way, mm-hmm. we have created a taverna on a Greek island and a beach scene on the same island and Donna's bedroom. And those are essentially the 3 playing areas we have. And it all works.
And imagine you have a live orchestra, too.
Yes, we do.
Of course you do.
We'll have six or eight piece band, 2 keyboards and drums and bass, guitar, and we can't wait because Sunday afternoon we have our first run through with them.
Uh-huh.
And our accompanist has been Brandon Niska. It's uh-huh. just been phenomenal. The music team, Sally Priester and Brandon, have just been amazing with putting this music and teaching the music to everybody, because everybody sings. Even if the ensemble is not on stage, they are singing off stage. Mm-hmm. And we have a pit chorus of 8 people who are community chorus members, and they are not seen until they come out and do their bows. Well, actually, a couple of them have little cameo roles, and I won't spill the beans on those.
Okay.
but we have a fabulous pit chorus that really is the underpinning vocally.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ensemble, when they're not running off the stage and changing clothes, because each one of them has 4 or 5 changes apiece, they are backstage on microphones, and they are singing. They are accompanying the people that are on stage. And when they're on stage, they're singing. When they're off stage, they're singing. So,
and I would think it would be additionally challenging as somebody who's performing on stage, you're singing to an audience who already knows this music fairly
mm-hmm.
well.
Yes.
It can be terrifying because, well, I mean, just because they know it. And
yeah.
if you mess up, uh-huh. they're going to know.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, with my lyrics, a lot of my stuff is repetitive with a little bit different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have thrown my score across the room several times this
okay.
summer just
mm-hmm.
because I know they know, and I've got to get it right. There's an expectation, and I want to make sure I live up and surpass that expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm my own worst. I put a lot of pressure on myself. But I want, you know, to make Elaine proud. I want the chorus, community chorus, to be proud of who was cast. And the cast is just wonderful. I can't say enough about the friendships I've made, the relationships that we have. And our crew has been there with us really the whole time because we've had the set. So there's already this camaraderie between the cast and crew, which is really, really integral to a production, I think.
I agree.
Think you have to have that woven in. It can't be we're the cast and we're the crew. It has to be a common bond there. So it's been really, really great. And I'm working with a lot of crew people that I knew. So that's also been already new. So that's been got Richard Jernigan and Tom Prochaska. And, you know, I knew a lot of them. The Davises have been involved. So Matt Davis and Ben Davis, who's one of my former students, graduated as the assistant technical director. So it's a lot of fun working with these people outside of Grissom for me. Mm-hmm. And it's weird for them to see me in a different role. So, you know, I'm following directions, and they've never seen me do that because I'm usually the one.
And she's doing a great job following directions. And she doesn't even have to sit on her hands to keep herself from, and she's made some suggestions, which are great. She and Michael both have, and we've restaged some things because of that. But basically, they are professionals, and they are working as
Thank
professionals.
You.
And that's the whole, everybody's rising to that bar that's been set so high.
And Michael saying he's done opera. How does this compare, this experience, doing a fun puppy musical to doing an opera? Is there any difference?
There really is no difference, because when you're doing a show, it's about the thing you're making, which is, I like to call it a flower. I talked to the whole cast about this the other day. You know, it's like you build this flower, it happens, it comes, it goes. The people who get to come and see it, who decide they want to come and see it, get to see the art you made. Then it's gone. Mm-hmm. So it's that way, whether it's an opera or a ballet or a whatever. This is stage performance, which we make, and it's temporal. And it's a great opportunity to make something together with people that you'll remember forever.
I always tell the cast at the end of the show that you individually will take a piece of this with you, and it will be a part of the next show you do. It'll be part of your life forever. You will never lose it, and it will send you on, and you will be very, very, it'll awaken something in you, but you will take it with you.